All right, please bow your heads and join me in this prayer. Dear God in heaven, as we come before you today in your presence, I pray that each and every one of us will have your eyes to see the people around us, to see the things that we do not seem to see, things that we're just so blind and so busy that we can't seem to see them. I also pray, Lord, that we would be able to see you today, to see you in your glory, and to see you as the object of our devotion and affection, and to see you in the way that Isaiah saw you in Isaiah chapter 6, where just the tip of your robe filled up the temple. And that we would be able to see the world, to see ourselves, to see you, to see the people around us, the way that you see, and be able to have your heart as we think about you and your blessings and your love for each one of us and for the world around us. In the name of Jesus, amen. So today we're going to talk about blessings. And I'm going to try to get this arranged here. There we go. All right. When you and your family members leave each other's presence, what kind of farewell blessing do you give to each other? Do you even give one? Do you just say, ta, or see you later? You know, what kind of a blessing do you give to your family members when they leave your presence, or your loved ones? Yeah, please say that out loud. Whatever thoughts you have, say it out loud. I love you. That's the best one. What else?
Bye.
Yes. Actually, goodbye is a shortened form for a blessing. I don't remember all the details, but I do remember reading one time that goodbye is actually a shortened form of an ancient English blessing. Any other ideas? Okay, I heard it over here. Be safe, yes. That's similar to the ones that my Aunt Marcia would always give. She lived in Indiana, and during the summer, so I'd go out and visit her. And I would go out just by myself sometimes because I just want to spend an extra week in her presence. And whenever I left her, she would always say, Susan, make sure you call me when you get home. And I knew that if I didn't, I was in trouble. And the reason why is because she wanted me to be safe. She was so concerned about my welfare. I had so much value to her. She wanted to know if I got home safely or not. And then last week at my ordination, my cousin Christy actually came out for that. And I was so touched by that. And when she was getting ready to leave, I told her, text me when you get home. I will be expecting a text from you when you get home. Because it had been a long day, and she still had 90 minutes to drive at 11 p.m. at night. I want to know, did she get home okay? And that's because Christy matters to me. She has value to me. So that might not be what you would consider an official blessing on a family member, but it did show that she had value, and that's what a blessing does. It shows the other person that they have value, and you want God's blessings upon them. So today we're going to look at the most well-known and the most ancient blessing in the Bible, and it's called the priestly blessing, or the Aaronic blessing. So please open your Bibles to the book of Numbers, chapter 6, verses 22 through 27. And Numbers is at the beginning of the Bible. It's the fourth book of the Bible. You know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. So you may recognize this passage as one that I adapt each Sunday for the benediction that I give. And the reason why I do that, why I stick with that same blessing and just adapt it for at the conclusion of each sermon is because I just became really fascinated with the whole concept of benedictions and blessings as a part of my Bible studies for the course of study. And it fascinated me when I heard how much the people of God knew the power of blessing upon those that received those words of blessing. That's because they knew that words are not idle. They have the power to either build somebody up or to tear them down. Words are actions. They're not just idle words. Blessings have the power to change situations and alter circumstances. Blessings originate with God, but humans are given his authority to bless others in his name. Now, because of our casual use of the word bless and blessing, we have kind of lost the significance of inviting the actual presence of God into a person's life or into a place and his favor and peace into our daily lives and activities. But for the ancient Israelites, the act of blessing was deeply rooted in their culture. The implied power of a blessing explains why the Israelites frequently blessed themselves and others. They knew that they were speaking divine favor over a person or a place or a situation with the intent of promoting welfare and happiness. To be blessed is to be favored by God. God wants us to walk in his favor. A person who blesses others stands in agreement with God about God's intention to confer good upon a person or a place or a situation or a circumstance. They are more than positive thinking or words of encouragement. Real blessings contain spiritual substance and power, and they are actually God's voice speaking goodness into the life of the worshiper who is devoted to him. So let's look at this passage in more detail. This blessing is at the end of chapter 6, and actually it starts with chapter 3. So chapters 3 through 6 relate largely the activities of the priests who were about to help Moses lead the Israelites out of Egypt into the promised land. And this passage ends the description with a beautiful summation of their role. The Lord gives Moses a blessing for peace by which his brother Aaron and his sons, who are to be the religious leaders of the Israelites from then on, are to put his name on the Israelites. They are persons through whom God's name or character is to be shown to the people, and through whom the blessing of God can rest upon the people. God's end purpose for the Israelites and for us and all of his creation has always been blessing and peace. This ancient blessing was to be delivered at public gatherings at the sanctuary. To bless carries the idea that God's presence, his activity, and his love are brought into a person's life and into that environment. Now, when this church was built, I'm assuming that they actually had a consecration ceremony or service. It wasn't just a ritual. It wasn't just mere words or a ceremony. The people involved were saying, we want God's presence right here for all the time. From now on, we want God's presence here and to never to leave. Because we believe that this building is set apart for his use. That's the idea of a blessing. It's not mere words, it's action. So This particular blessing was set before God's faithful servants under the conditions that they carefully observe all the commands that God gave them, especially to love the Lord their God, to walk in obedience to him, and to hold fast to him. This priestly blessing consisted of three parts with God's name mentioned in each part. Each sentence has an activity of God, and it has the effect of God's activity upon the person being blessed. Therefore, the result is a threefold blessing. You know, we call it the blessing, but it's actually three blessings for the price of one. The first blessing emphasizes concrete gifts, blessing and security. This is the giving of God's blessing and his protection from evil forces in all that was harmful to one's welfare and life. The second blessing, second phrase, stresses the hope that God will be well disposed towards the person, that God would lighten or shine his face upon the worshiper, and thus temper his judgment with his mercy, or to be gracious. The shining of the Lord's face upon them, as an example, is something I've been seeing this morning. I see all these adults looking at little Austin, and they're smiling at him. In Hebrew, they would say, their faces are shining upon Austin. And why is that? Well, it's because we all love Austin. We're happy to see him. We're excited to see him. We are favorably disposed towards Austin. We're not angry with him at all. No matter what he does, we are not angry with him. And the way that his parents are grinning right now, we know that that's definitely the case. So in the priestly blessing, that's what the priests were doing, is we are asking God, please smile upon us. Smile upon your people. In the same way that loving parents smile at their little babies. So the metaphor of light is also used to refer to God's face as it shines brightly with warmth and brightness and life-giving energy towards his worshipers and towards all of creation. By asking God to smile upon another person or ourselves, we can ask God to smile upon us, to bless us. We are asking for God's favor, his goodwill and grace towards the people, which meant that his anger is turned away from us. Grace. We're asking for grace. And grace means it's God's mercy, his strength, his love, and his saving power. When we ask God to smile upon us or upon somebody else, we're asking for more of God's mercy towards that person instead of judgment. We're asking for strength. Each of us needs more strength to accomplish his will these days, more love, and more saving power. The third phrase, the third blessing, asserts that God will pay attention or lift his face to the worshiper and thus provide fullness of life, known as his peace. Declaring that God will lift up his face towards the worshipers is to declare that God cares for them with heartfelt, unconditional love that gives peace. The lifting of God's face implies the active and divine acceptance and blessing of a specific person or a community as a form of reconciliation, even when it's undeserved. Being at peace, which in Hebrew is the word shalom, means completeness or fullness or abundance, because God supplies all that is necessary to give life its fullness. It includes hope for the future. You know, the purpose of salvation is not just so that we go to heaven when we die. There's a song that I will jokingly sing, "Will Work Till Jesus Comes." If you've ever listened to that song, they're just singing about how miserable life is until they die, but they'll just keep working. That song is the opposite of what God is really saying and what his purpose on this earth really was. Because peace is the central message of this blessing. God came, Jesus came to give us life to the full right now. We don't have to wait till we die and go to heaven to have a sense of completeness. We can have God's peace and joy and abundance right now, right now. So peace is not just about absence of war, but it wishes God's goodness upon worshipers, such as good health, security, inner harmony, friendship, wellness, even material prosperity, and a long life. This is what Jesus means when he says in John 10:10, I have come that they might have life and have it in abundance. The ultimate goal of the blessing is the bestowal of God's peace upon the people, and it encompasses God's good gifts of health, prosperity, well-being, friendship, justice, and salvation. It implies that God will provide everything that we need to have things that make life, human life, possible and fulfilling. And this blessing leads to God's keeping power, which guards and protects us from all evil. Now, it's something that may not be apparent at first about this blessing is that it involves the role of holiness in the life of God's worshipers to bring about the social and physical health that they need and spiritual health that they need. Looking at verse 27, it says, so they, the priests, will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. In ancient times, to place the name of a deity upon a person or a group of people or a place meant that that deity, that God, owned whatever his name was resting on. So when the priests were giving this blessing upon the worshipers, the priests were putting God's name upon that congregation. And when they did that, they were saying, God, you own this congregation. You own this body of people. You own these worshipers. Now, the word own is kind of a strong word here. That's an uncomfortable word for us nowadays because we don't like the idea of human beings being owned. But hopefully, it is also creating a powerful picture in your mind of the kinds of loyalty and devotion for which we need to have towards God. And I'll be specific. It's for the Trinity. Now, God the Father, who is our creator. For God the Son, Jesus Christ, who died and rose again so that the power of sin can be broken in our lives. His blood cleanses us from all sins. And the God the Holy Spirit, who sanctifies us and fills us, spiritually renews us, and continually guides us. It is this God, this triune God, the Trinity, that God is the one that wants an exclusive relationship with each and every one of us. So when we're saying God is supposed to own us, we're saying God wants to have an exclusive relationship with each and every one of us. So what does this mean to say that God wants to own each and every one of us? Think about the Ten Commandments. You know, the commandment, do not put any other gods before him. Do not worship any gods. In the Bible, it says, do not make graven images. Nowadays, we tend not to have graven images, at least not in North America. But we have other gods. We have other idols. A good definition of an idol would be anything that comes before God, our creator, the Trinity in our loyalties and our affections. The third commandment, and it's found in Exodus 20, verse 7, says, "Do not take the name of the Lord in vain." Now, most people generally understand that to mean don't swear, and that's part of it. But it is also, don't claim to belong completely and exclusively to Jesus Christ when you really aren't. If you say that you're a Christian, and yet your actions tell people otherwise, then you are taking God's name in vain. You're putting his name upon yourself, claiming that he owns you, when really your behavior is telling God and it's telling everybody else that you're lying, to put it bluntly. We're deceiving ourselves and we're deceiving others if we say that we are God's, that we belong to Jesus Christ, when everybody else around us can, and God himself can tell, your heart really is chasing after all these other little things and can barely get your attention. Or another way of putting it is, if you worship God on Sundays, but during the rest of the week you worship something else, then you're taking God's name in vain. So it's more than swearing. Swearing is part of it. I don't want anybody to think I'm saying it's okay to swear, because it's not. But it's not just swearing. It's your whole walk with Christ has to truly be one that walks in honesty and truth, in which people around you can say, a person's different. That person acts like Christ. Right, so it means that when you claim to be a Christ follower, your spiritual walk should match your claim. And if it doesn't, then God can't bless you. That's because blessings reflect good relationships between two parties, especially as a sign of how deep and how high quality that relationship is. The quality of the blessing shows how deeply connected the two parties are. God isn't going to give a blessing to those people who are his enemies or who are chasing after other gods. God blesses those who love him and wholeheartedly follow his ways. Since the authority of the blessing comes from God and not the priest or spiritual leader, this means that this blessing will only produce these blessings if the worshipers are faithful and obedient and wholly devoted to God. So this is what Jesus is referring to in Matthew 6:33, when he says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things," meaning blessings, "will be added unto you." The more that you claim his name over your life and say, "God, you own me exclusively," then the more that God's blessings of a full and abundant life will be yours. If you desire such blessings as good health, victory, strength, and peace, then you need to desire wholehearted devotion to Jesus Christ. You need to desire Jesus Christ even more than these blessings, because when you do that, the blessings will just flow out of that relationship. You know, I can see that with my parents. You know, they bless me in so many ways, But that's because it's a sign of a good relationship between them and myself. You know, it's not about, you know, I don't have a relationship with them so I can get stuff from them. I have a relationship with them because, out of love, and same towards me. And out of that love comes blessings. And it's the same way with God. Now, if we desire Jesus Christ more than anything else on this, the face of this earth, then we will have God's blessings. So in conclusion, blessings are not primarily about getting. They are about a wholehearted relationship with God. And then as an outflow of a deep intimacy with God, in which you're fully dedicated and sold out to God, God will trust you with more and more of his blessings. He'll do this with joy, like a good parent who wants to lavish his children with good things because he loves them and wants the best for them. And then in response, we will not keep these blessings for ourselves. Instead, we will understand that we are blessed than to be a blessing to those around us who are starved for God's love. So we are going to spend a few minutes now before the Lord. I want to give each and every one of us a chance to just listen and give God a chance to speak into our hearts and into our minds and our souls and into our understandings. And so I ask you to please bow your heads and close your eyes right now. You can do this in the pew, or if you want to, you can come up front here at the altar to pray. And while we are have our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and as we're listening to God, some questions, I had some questions for you to think about. The first one is, what is your devotion towards God like? Does your heart beat like his heart beats? Do you see the world around you with his eyes or your own? Do you want to follow his ways? If God were to say to you right now, I want to put my name on you so that you can belong exclusively to me, what would your reaction be? Do you hunger to have a deep, exclusive relationship with him? What is God asking you in love to give up so that you and he can have a deeper relationship with each other? Please take this time right now to pray about your walk with God. Let him speak to you. Speak with you and let yourself experience his love. Dear Lord, we come before you this morning with hearts that are on the journey towards understanding the joy that comes in an exclusive relationship with you. I pray, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to remove all distractions and to encourage all hearts that are hungry for a deeper walk with you. Please guide them and show them that that what you're asking for is based upon love and care and guidance. An assurance of peace in the midst of storms. You're only asking us to give up the idols in our lives because you want to replace it with something better. I pray, Lord, that you will open each person's eyes to what kind of idol needs to be removed to further deepen an intimate walk with you. And I pray, Lord, that as each person is willing to give up their idols, that they will see the benefits and the love that will replace what the idols, replace the space that the idols were taking in our hearts. And for those people who want to pray a prayer of consecration and a deeper walk with you, please join me in saying this. Dear Lord, I realize that I have not been worshiping you completely and exclusively. I repent of this, and I want to have your name be put on me. I want you to be the only God that I worship. And I want to forsake, to give up anything that has been first place in my heart instead of you. And Lord, I pray for your blessings of security and joy and approval and peace to cover and surround my life and rest upon me, so that then I can go and be an agent of blessing and peace to everyone around me. I am no longer filled with myself, but I am filled instead with your Holy Spirit. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.